And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in the land. Working from behind the scenes, controlling everything, from the daily news we read to the politicians. And they're pulling our financial strings, more powerful than kings. It's the central bank elite bringing our destruction. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. We are the people and we can. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. We gotta take the freedom back. America arise, it's time to open up our eyes and march back down the road to freedom. If we look the other way, they'll take our rights away. So we the people must take freedom. Restore the Republic. Till we choke, shoving taxes down our throats, bailing out banks we don't even owe. It's a ruination. They're invading our privacy with high technology, microchip in our ID. It's abomination. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. Spread the news across the land. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for being on the call. The playback for this call is 712-432-0085, I believe. Let me double-check that. Yes, it is. No. 712-432-1085, and you use the same participant code, 594-637. I want to thank you guys and welcome you to the Republic for the United States of America. My name is Kelby. This is another beautiful day. July the 11th of 2013. I appreciate having the last month off of this call. I've been very, very busy, so it's been helpful. This call is an introduction call for the people of the corporate United States of America and its employees, law enforcement, 14th Amendment citizens, and the men and women of our armed services. This republic that we claim to have re-inhabited is called the Republic for the United States of America. We are law-abiding. We are peaceful. We simply found some amazing truths, and we're sharing these truths with the rest of the world. So get ready to hear things that sound impossible. Get ready to understand that we want to welcome you to be a part of this amazing history. So we welcome each one of you to the Republic for the United States of America. Before we launch the call, we always open it up in prayer. Janine, did you have somebody in mind?
Well, Kelby, we've missed you so much this last month. Would you do that for us this time?
You're a blessing. Thank you. Father God, we bow our heads in respect and adoration for your awesome power. Lord, as we come through this stressful time in our lives of a full knowledge and understanding and knowing of what the real agenda is in not only this country but all over the world, that it can only be led by a real dark entity, because the plan for the people is not good. Lord, your plan for the people is without merit the best plan that's ever surfaced in the history of this world. And we want to pay respect and honor to that plan, and we want to thank you for the Son and what he did on the cross. We ask, Lord, for the protection of this republic and every member of it. We claim that protection in the name of your Son. And, Lord, we know that there is obviously a major looking into this republic from the outside, and it's because what we did was lawful. It's because what we did is shocking the world. And, Lord, we need to organize it. We need to build it properly, and we need your help. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your steps, and we ask for your protection through this entire process, and we pray this in your Son's precious name, Yeshua, which is Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Janine. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been doing this now for probably going on 3 or 4 years, where we actually sat and went through a process to get the people in this country together to re-inhabit the de jure or original form of republic government. There is a major advertisement through media, through our existing de facto, which is a term you need to go look up, government ran by the current Obama administration. That de facto government is nothing that we're trying to take over, set aside. We're simply people that are on the de jure side, the original side that was vacated at some point in the 1800s. And that de jure side really does exist, and you can find it in many case laws, Shelby versus Norton County. You can find it in corpus juris secundum as it pertains to the juries. You can find it all over where the Supreme Court rules on the fact that there is two forms of government. Now, either I'm a flat-out liar, or I just told you something that you really need to think about. Because if your own Supreme Court is saying that there's two forms of government that exist on this land, that means what we did was lawful. That what we claim to be is not a group of passing fancy, not a movement, not a a group of crazy people, but all we did was we looked up in the law and we thought, well, what the heck did they really do? And all they really did was they formed a corporation. They structured up an entity that they can run. And that corporation, the top is not Barack Obama. It's a much bigger, much different agenda than you really think. So we, in our form of government, the de jure, the original, the lawful form of government, got a bunch of people together. And we went through a major process, and it was a tough, long road. And the reason why I know it's real is the amount of attention it's getting from de facto federal agents, the amount of attention it's getting from the other side. And it's ironic to me. I mean, it really is. It's ironic to me that we would get so much attention when we abide by the law in every form that we possibly can in the reformation of this government. And so what I would like to direct their attention to and pray that God opens their hearts and their minds is that they realize that their corporate structure of an entity would start investigating true crime, crime against the people of this country, and in a greater magnitude than any paper pushing that we could do on our end. And the reason why this is an important topic for us is because we have people that are losing their homes every day. We have people that are that think that they took out a loan and they're scared that they're not making their payment because they're losing their jobs and so on and so forth. And what you guys don't realize is that other countries in this world, and I'm going to speak to just one, other countries in this world are way further down the road of depression and recession than we are, and we're heading that direction. Why is this important to discuss this? Because there is true crime, true criminal behavior at the highest levels of banking, of finance, and of government that I have ever seen. And those crimes need to be stood up against. People, good people, are in those organizations, in the de facto, because what's happening is a theft of people's private property all across this nation, and it's done through color of law and through a United Nations conference that was held in June of 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, and it's called Agenda 21. And they use these key words like sustainable development, and here's the nutshell of it. They're funding colleges around this country to teach sustainable development. It's a soft word. It's a non-obtrusive word, and you don't think anything about it. But the reality is, it's about control. It's about bringing people out of the suburbs and pushing them into the big cities and putting them in smaller spaces. And if you were to read, just go type Agenda 21 PDF on Google and read it. It's right off of the United Nations website. It will shock you at the fact that 200 countries align themselves in this thinking and are pushing towards this agenda. And it's genocide in some places like Brazil. And if you go and do some research, you'll find that there's already 4,000 or 5,000 people that had their homes burnt down and pushed out and pushed into the city. So you have to ask yourself, what are these things for? What is the reason why we're losing our home, and who are we really losing the home to? Our house. Are we losing it to a bank who loaned us money, or are we losing it to the federal government of who is using a servicer to collect on a debt that they have no right to collect on? So it may not be today, it may not be next week. You may have to see the lobster cooking fully in boiling water, and you may have to be that lobster yourself. But this country is going to wake up, and it's going to be very soon, because we're starting to realize what we have given up in silly things like the Declaration of Independence, who says that we are under God only. And we left that, and we put ourselves as a subject citizen under the 14th Amendment because we just didn't know any better. We thought we were getting the benefits and privileges, which are great words. But when you receive a benefit or you receive a privilege or you're a subject of something and you don't realize it's a corporation, that makes a big change as to what you really did have as a true sovereign on the land. I want to address that beautiful word, sovereign, but that has been turned ugly. That beautiful word is only speaks of one entity or being, and that is God. There is no other sovereign anywhere other than God. Now, here's how I view it. God says in the book of Genesis 1:28, 1:26, and 1:28, and other places, four other spots, I believe, in the Bible, that we are to have dominion over all the earth. Now, for people that have heard this before, great, you're going to hear it again. This is important because it's lawfully something for you to consider, because they're coming after that name, sovereign citizen, which is an oxymoron. Instead of going after the real cartel, instead of going after the real thieves, instead of going after the true criminals, they isolate. They teach their law enforcement that really we are a bad group of people. I'm going to tell you right now, if I've done anything bad, please forgive me. But we love you guys so much, every agent, every law enforcement officer, every armed force such as the Army, Navy. We love you guys so much that we have put our lives, our wealth, our reputation on the line, just like our founding fathers did, in whom have been called, meaning those men now are being trained, the current de facto federal government is training that those men that laid their lives on the line back in the day were terrorists or were basically people that were considered dangerous. Now, back then it was a different story. Those men, actually some of them took up arms and fought against the king. We don't claim that. We don't want to have that. What we want is what we have. And we want the de facto and the members of it to support it because it is the lawful form of government. We want the corporate structures and the corporate entities to stop stealing from Americans under the color of law and this movement called freedom and democracy. Because we need to stop supporting the one world agenda. We need to start supporting our Lord and what he had planned for us by giving us this country back in 1776. This is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We have such a privilege to serve even you guys, and we will serve you guys at the highest capacity and with only integral thoughts and only integral actions. That means we will live up to the oath of office that we support and stand. And I'm going to tell you this right now. God supports our republic, and he supports this nation and every innocent on this world, and he is against every dark entity in this world, and guess what? He wins in the end. I'm going to ask you guys to come on our side. That's what this call is about. I'm going to ask you guys, because there are movements of officers all over this country that are standing up, and I give you guys a round of applause. They maybe not believe in this whole republic thing, but if they saw what we have done, and they really looked at what we have done, and they saw our intent, and they knew that the law supports it, and they knew that the Supreme Court supports it, and they knew that all we needed to do was fund this thing out and get the people together and stand up for this nation. We could do it, but we can't do it hiding. We can't do it in quitting. We have to stand up to the beast. Call it whatever you want. That's my name for it. And the beast is dark. And it has one intention, and if you knew all the law that I knew pertaining to its intention, you would be blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this nation is that important. This country is that important. We love this country, and all we want to do is serve it to our highest capacity and serve it in love and with forgiveness, and we will forgive every atrocity that has happened on the face of this earth. God may not. That's not for me to judge, but we will, because that's what we are called to. Now, if you've committed a crime, then you need to be judged in your own way. And I'm going to ask that the people that support the law and still stand up for this country and stand up for their oath of office understand something. We've all been bamboozled. It's that clear. And the banks now control everything so much so that under this guideline of true justice, blind justice, where you see Lady Justice with the blindfold on, we get no justice. You cannot kick somebody out of a house that you did not do a loan for. And these judges are supporting it left and right. And the first thing these judges do is saying, well, you haven't made a payment on a loan that you were given in 1998, and you haven't made a payment in 8 months, why would we want to award you the house? It's called contract, and that judge should have the respect and honor of her or his oath of office to protect the people. The people are the government on this land, ladies and gentlemen, and all we're trying to do is give it back to the people. Janine, I yield the floor.
Kelby, thank you so much. It's always so good to have you on the call. We've missed this for this last month, and so it's glad to have you back. Your leave of absence, I know you were working on some projects. Is there anything you can share with us? Or is that something open to talk about at this time, or is that coming?
Well, I'm working on a pretty incredible project right now. We've discovered a couple of things that are helping homeowners, and I'm trying to dive in full bore into it because it's working 99% of the time, and it's really a neat thing. I don't want to share it just yet. We've been testing it with about 10 people, and we've got 10 for 10 success, and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do. So it stops the foreclosure in its tracks, allows the person to have a dominion, which is what God calls for, meaning, here's, Janine, it's funny. This is funny how our country thinks. We think in ownership terms. And I want to step people back into what God really wants you to understand biblically about your house, your land. It's all His. It's all His. There is nothing anybody can own. And we are called to have sovereign authority over all of it. And that's what we need to keep in perspective, that if you have a grant deed on your house, it doesn't mean you own your house. You can have a land patent claim, and it doesn't mean you own your house. The only thing they help you to do is have a more safe dominion of that property until you are dead. And so there's different levels of having dominion. There's levels of people that haven't made a house payment in 8 years, 7 years, 6 years, and they don't get contested. And the banks don't know what to do because the paperwork against title is bad. So the point is we have this opportunity to have a different way to think and a biblical way to think. And what we need to do as Americans is understand that they are stealing every piece of property, and it's going to go on a much faster scale now across this nation. People have no clue about what's about to happen to them. So they need to get educated on what to do to stop that process, whether it be through eminent domain, whether it be through just a straight-up theft from a non-judicial foreclosure, whether it be from a judicial foreclosure where the judge just sided completely with the bank and they get booted, whether it be what have you. We are teaching people to have true dominion over their property and have a different way to think. And let me give you one last example. As a licensed broker in California, I took on the broker's test. I remember this one question, and I didn't understand it until a couple years ago. The question was, do you or do you not have to record the transaction of a purchase in the county recorder's office? And I thought, well, for sure you do. I mean, that's just the way that it is. We have to record everything. And the reality is you don't. And when people start registering their stuff, that word registrar, that word registry, that word register, they'll look them up and look them up in multiple dictionaries and write down all the words, and your jaw will drop because you're literally handing something you own over for them to do what they will to that property. And for receiving a benefit of a grant deed or to receive a benefit of you being on title, they can trade that as an asset for their corporation. And so like in California, I live in Orange County. There's the county of, which is the corporate side, but there's also the de jure, the Orange County. And so if I were to purchase a property from this point forward, I would never use words that the corporation made up in my contract, like property, like real estate, like a house, like a legal description. I would use words like land, dirt, earth, soil, ground. I would use meets and bounds for my description, and I would leave every de facto word out of that purchase agreement. I would buy the property. I would pay cash for the property, or gold or whatever trade you want, and then I would not record that in the county recorders. I would serve them constructive notice that a transaction has taken place and that I own the property now, but I would not register the property with them. What happens when you do that is you're not receiving a benefit privilege, and you end up in a situation in which they'll probably not be able to put your information onto the tax rolls and send you an assessment or a tax. And so us as Americans need to wake up, and that's what we are doing. And we have to God for help in all this, because it's a dark entity that is from the other side. It is only a dark entity, and that dark entity has got the same, listen to me very careful, Janine. Everybody, listen. This is neat. It sucks, but it's going to open your eyes, and that's why it's neat. The reason why the people in the 40s were following the orders of Hitler was because it was in the law. You hear me? It's in the law today in this country to do very similar things to our people as it was in the law back in those days to do what they did to not only the Russians, the Jews, and many other people. We need to wake up to the fact that this is nothing more than a God versus Satan issue, and what side are we on? Are we under the de facto corporate structure that honors the beast system and puts the literal symbol of the Church of Satan in the streets of Washington, D.C.? Or are we to honor a system and structure that says God is the one true sovereign and that we are under him only? And that's the one that we have. And we also put in our law, we noted the fact that the Bible is the Word of God and is also to be construed as our form of law. One of our forms of law. But if you take a look, and I'm sorry I'm going on, Janine, one more
thing.
That's
okay. You're good. Go ahead.
If you take a look at the fact that the Word of God has been declared by the Congress under Public Law 97-280, write that down, guys. If you're ever in court for being a crazy sovereign, just ask them what their definition of sovereign is, because you need to know what they define sovereign as being. Because once you get that definition, you can always say, no, I'm not that. But under Genesis 1:28 and 1:26 and 1:28, the Bible says that word dominion, we are to have dominion, sovereign authority. That's what the word dominion means, sovereign authority over all the earth. So we are to behave, God says we are to behave like sovereign people, sovereign authority. Doesn't mean you are sovereign, just to behave like it. And the federal government says that that Bible, under Public Law 97-280, is the Word of God. So we are to be obedient. Listen to me very carefully. We are to be obedient to federal law. If that's your jurisdiction, and or you are in fear of that jurisdiction, be obedient to it, okay? And that says, be obedient to the Word of God, because Public Law 97-280 says the Bible is the Word of God. So I am trying to be obedient by behaving in a sovereign capacity in this nation. And that's very, very important. And they're going to be in a world of trouble in their own law by coming against anybody that wants to claim the Declaration of Independence as their founding document. We were just in court the other day, and a cop was laughing on the stand saying that the Constitution does not exist. It's dead. It's an old document. We got it on the record. And you know what? The court left it off the record when we asked for certified copies. It's amazing, guys. This is how far gone the peace and police officers that are here to protect and defend, they're being trained that is a document that does not exist anymore, that it is an old document. I assure you, it exists. I assure you that it's been set aside because we're in a structure of war right now. And in the structure or capacity of war, the document, the Constitution, is set aside and the military rules. We are under a democracy because we are under military rule. Period. Now the Republic is back. Does that mean they need to jump on our bandwagon? No. We just want them to understand if they want to come, we want to serve with them. And that's where we're coming from, Janine. So I yield.
Well, thank you so much for that, Kelby. I really appreciate it. And everyone should know Kelby has a servant's heart. And Kelby does a lot of research, a lot of work. If you haven't gone to his site, hisadvocates.org, I suggest you do that, even if it's nothing more than to chat with other people out there looking for the truth themselves. So thanks so much, Kelby. We'll go ahead and get started with the rest of our call. Before we do that, I have a couple of announcements to make. Those of you writing letters in support of President Turner to be sent to his assistants of counsel, he is asking that we do that sooner than the 22nd. If we can get those in by this next week, that would be beneficial to him so they can go through them and get them in order to present them at the sentencing hearing on the 29th. Also, Acting President Geiger and his wife Suzanne are want to congratulate them on the birth of their new grandson, born yesterday morning. It's why they've not been with us. They've been traveling to be with their daughter. And so he should be back with us next week. I believe that's my PSAs that I need to do this week. Now I'd like to turn it over to Brett LaRue from the Senate to give us an update on what's going on in Congress. Brett, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Can you hear me, Janine?
I can. Welcome to the call.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Kelby. Brother, that was great news. I appreciate you and all your work. It's good to have you back.
You too, Brett.
As the Senate, we are, I want to dovetail onto what Kelby is talking about, the very serious importance of understanding the laws that have been put into place that have been done under the guise of being for the people, and they're absolutely not. And I want to reach out to all of you people that are on the call listening, that if you feel like you can contribute or want to contribute or want to learn, have the desire to learn what has been done behind the scenes and it's all public record. It's all in the statutes at large. In the decisions of the Supreme Court and things like that. The information is all there, just like it is in the Bible. So everything is clearly spelled out what they did, and it's we need to have an army of people working on this to get to the root and trace step by step how this thing has been turned against us. You know, just in our research of the rules for the Senate and the rules for the Congress and, learning about the documentation to admit a state into the union, there is so much work involved in just getting to the definitions of these words, and the definitions are so critical. And just like Kelby was pointing out, the words that we say, the words that come out of our mouth because we have been given dominion by God are so critical that we have really got to get on the same page so that when Kelby says something that we all understand how he's using that word. We don't have to agree with what he says, but, you know, it's critical that we all understand what one another is saying when we communicate, because that is how we have been enslaved. And that's just the root of it. And in the Congress, that's what we're working toward, is to restore this nation back to the lawful, organic law. A lot of these things that we're dealing with are statute and code that are not organic law. Those are administrative rules and things that have been made up by corporations that have teamed up against us. They've made corporations equal to people, bodies politic. The week after they incorporated the District of Columbia, they passed a law that made persons equal to bodies politic and corporations. And then they systematically enslave the people, taking away our right to operate in the private, and the corporations operate in the private and the public. And so they've taken away our opportunity to maintain our dominion. And so that is absolutely correct and absolutely critical to our success. And these are the things that we're discovering as we're going back through the laws, the rules, everything in the Congress. And so that's what we're working on, and we're faithfully doing it. We need a lot of support. We need a lot of help. So I appeal to you in the same way that Kelby did, that, you know, come and prove us wrong. You know, we want to know, we want to do what's right. We're not here to be right. We're here to do what's right. And so we're trying to do what's right for the country. And the more people that are participating, the more momentum that we will have, the more power that we will have spiritually, you know, with all of our minds operating in the same, along the same lines. And so we're kind of changing my, but the gears of my report a little bit to ask you guys to support, you know, or come on board to prove us wrong, because we want to do it right. If we've done something wrong, we want to know, we want to fix it. So with that, I yield. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brandon. And before I let you go, did you want to speak just a little bit? You know, we are making some moves in a positive direction. We have some nominees now for AG. We have nominees to fill some governor seats in states that need a little help. Did you want to talk about that a little bit this evening?
Sure, I'll do that. Thank you.
Okay.
Janine just brought to everybody's attention that based on organic law and the four organic laws that are what are considered organic laws of our country are the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, the Northwest Ordinance, and the Constitution of the United States. And so utilizing those documents as organic law, meaning the laws that by the providence of God have been ordained and established as the, you know, from and with the power that's been delegated by the people. So that's the only way that they can, that those things can really exist. And the statutes and codes and things like that have been made that are contrary to those organic laws are null and void on their face. They're repugnant. They're contrary. The word that's used in the Constitution is contrary. And the judges of every state are bound to uphold the laws that are not contrary to the Constitution. So any law that's on the books that's in line with the Constitution, those are the only laws that the judges are to uphold. And we're not finding that that's the case. And so in our effort to expand and to help the states to develop their temporary governments, we are carrying forward the Northwest Ordinance, and we're assigning or appointing leadership on a temporary basis in the states that don't have any, so that there can be a Republican form of government and that the people have a place to rally and to come together to, you know, in this effort to restore our country to lawful de jure law. And so that's what according to the Constitution and the Northwest Ordinance, those things were done through the Congress and the Northwest Ordinance, the appointments and the removal from office. And when the Constitution was adopted, those powers were passed to the president with the advice and consent of the Senate. And so the Senate is going to be pulling its committees together to interview and to vet the nominees and to confirm them and bring them before the Senate so that we can continue to move forward. Having an attorney general is going to be a huge, huge thing for us because there's some cases that cannot be considered without an AG. An attorney general. So it's got to go that way. The justices of the Supreme Court are not allowed to do their own investigations. They have to have another working body to do those investigations with the authority to do that. And so that's part of our process where we have nominees for several states to be governors, and they are working diligently, people with really great hearts that are here to serve and just want to do what's right, and they're willing to do whatever it is to do, but the call of the hour is for them to have, we need to have this leadership in place so that people have a rallying point. And so those are the things that we're working on right now. We also, Janine has appointed an assistant secretary of state, and with the advice and consent of the Senate, and so the Senate's going to be pulling the Foreign Affairs Committee together so that we can vet that nominee. And so we're making a lot of progress, and again, we're doing everything that we can to learn the right process so that we can do it right. And again, we would value anybody who has the experience, the desire, the expertise to help us and to contribute in that effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator LaRue. I'd like to invite Speaker Rockwell to come to the floor now and give an update from the House.
Thank you, Janine, and good evening, everybody. And I'd like to echo both Kelby and Senator LaRue's comments. I want to just say amen, that I'm in agreement with them, and say that we're unified in the direction that we're going, because our direction is under God, and God is our leader in this country and this republic, because it is his republic. And I'll make mine very short comparatively, my report. This week, the House of Representatives was an off week for them, and it, so was with the Senate. We're going to meet this coming Tuesday, and if you'd like to listen in to our Congress call on Tuesday evening, it's 6 o'clock Pacific time, and we also have a gallery number where members of the public can listen to what we're doing as we work. That phone number is 712-432-0900, and the access code is 448229#. I'll give that to you again if you didn't have your pen handy. 712-432-0900 and an access code of 448229#. When we were in session a week and a half ago, we took a vote to reaffirm myself as the Speaker of the House, and also the Speaker Pro Tem, Representative Kurzanowski, and that was passed with a unanimous vote. We have a couple of committees that we're working on as well. Haven't talked to the representative from Colorado, Dennis Spencer. He's the chair of the committee that is in charge of recruiting for the Republic. So I haven't got an update from him. But with that, I'll yield to Representative Kurzanowski. He is the chair of the Rules and Procedures Committee, and I'll yield to him for his update.
Speaker Rockwell, Representative Kurzanowski's line, well, he just popped back on. He's been going in and out tonight. Representative Kurzanowski, I'm glad you made it back. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me, Jenny?
I can hear you now. Thank you. Speaker Rockwell just turned it over to you for a report from the Rules Committee.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. This is Representative Kurzanowski from Illinois. We are continuing our work in the Rules Committee. Hopefully we're going to have a meeting tomorrow or over the weekend. We have our full complement back in action. And continuing, you know, our goal is to update the rules for the House to meet our demands and our way of operation, you know, in the modern day today. So we're going to continue to do that. And once we get that all streamlined and ready to go, then it'll make it a lot easier for us to do what we need to do in the House. And that's about all I have, and I yield.
Well, thank you so much, Representative Kurzanowski. And now I'd like to turn it over to Roger Waters. He's a permanent part of our Republic News Network call in a segment we like to call Treading Waters. He brings information that's happening out there in the world today, and it brings it to us, exposes it, explains it, and then we try to use that information as a recruiting tool to show people out there that there's an alternative. So welcome, Roger.
Thank you very much. Jeanine, can you hear me okay?
I can. I want to remind everyone that the documentation for your talk tonight was included a link on the email for tonight's call. And so anyone that does not have that, they can send an email to rrb.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org, or they can join the email list and they'll get that automatically. And I yield the floor to you, Roger. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Got a question for you. What do the dates April 15th, 2014, October 8th, 2014, April 4th, 2015, and September 28th, 2015 have in common? Now, keep that in the back of your mind while we go through the news here, and we're going to come back to this. It may sound like we're going in a lot of different directions, but I assure you it will all come together. First of all, the corporate CEO, Mr. Obama, has requested 15,000 Russian troops for an upcoming disaster. Now, it didn't say what the disaster was, it just said upcoming. Everything that I have, I will say tonight has a link to it that when you get on the document, you can actually go and read everything for yourself. There was a worldwide arrest warrant for Mr. Obama and the last Bush as president. Bush told Obama, "I was Cheney's puppet. What's your excuse?" These warrants have been issued by an independent war crimes tribunal attached to The Hague in the Netherlands. More warrants are expected against other U.S. politicians and generals. Attorneys representing Bush and Obama are recommending that they do not leave the boundaries of the United States, but they have forgotten that Interpol has diplomatic immunity within the United States. If you should happen to see one of these two men, you can contact Eric Holder at 1-202-353-1555 and tell him that the international community is prepared to prosecute even if he will not. That is the phone number that goes along with askdoj@usdoj.gov. Economist, caution, prepare for massive wealth destruction. Mark Faber, a noted Swiss economist and investor, when asked what sort of odds he would put on a global recession happening, said, with his famous predictions, quickly answered 100%. In a recent appearance, Donald Trump went so far as to say, and I quote, "The dollar is going to hell," unquote. In a recent interview to talk about his New York Times bestseller, Weidmeier says, "The data is clear, 50% unemployment, 90% stock market drop, and 100% annual inflation starting in the year 2013. Now, after reading that story, I decided I wanted to go check out the debt clock. So on July the 7th at 1:14 p.m., I saw that the U.S. gross national product was at $15,799 billion. I saw that the national debt at that same time was $16,903 billion. That means that this corporate government we call the de facto is insolvent to the tune of $1,104,397,807.380. Now, they want you to get your checkbooks out so you can pay the IRS. You know, they need to have some more of those dance lessons. They want you to pay $55,788.57 a person in this country. That makes up the debt. So whip your checkbooks out. Write that check and send it to the IRS so they can have more dance classes for themselves. SCOTUS, what they really did to us. SCOTUS represents the Supreme Court of the United States. That's the all-cap letters. That's the corporation. I'm going to read you something that may shock you, so be prepared. The ACLU founder, Roger Baldwin, stated, "We are for socialism, disarmament, and ultimately for abolishing the state itself. We seek the social ownership of property, the oblation of the property class, and the sole control of those who produce wealth. Communism is the goal." Now, here are some interesting facts. In their policies, this is the ACLU, policy number 4, their policy is the defense of all pornography, including child porn, as free speech. Policy 18, the opposition of rating of music and movies. Policy 80, opposition of parental choice for children's education. Take that word choice and put abortion there. They're again in policy 210, the decriminalization and legalization of all drugs. Policy 211, the legalization of prostitution. Policy 262, opposition against parental consent of minors seeking abortion, and opposition against parental consent of minors seeking abortion. Policy 263, opposition of informed consent preceding abortion procedures. And policy 264, the promotion of homosexuality. Now, judges can make from $10,000 to $25,000 per win in the U.S. courts above their wages and tax-free. United States Code Part 3, Subpart C, tells that any employee of the federal government can make from $10,000 to $25,000 for saving, gaining, and or an invention that saves the Fed's money. Part 45012B of USC 5 says an employee means anyone who is employed by the government of the United States and the government of the District of Columbia. And that is the key phrase. You need to understand that in the de facto corporation, every judge appointed by the president is employed to the D.C. area, that 10 square miles. 7342A6C says, the Administrative Office of the United States Courts for Judges and Judicial Employees. It breaks it down in different areas that the judges and the employees of those judges can make up to $10,000 to $25,000 each case they win. So if a judge would have 6 IRS cases on his docket within a month, and his court won all 6 of them, multiply $25,000 by 6, and that gives you how much of an increase he may have made just because his court won it. This is why the ACLU likes to go into these courts, because they work together. Now, the Supreme Court of the United States is leading the fight over a tyrannical government, over your family, over your church. And this is taken from Sam Rohrer of the PA Pastors Network. He reports that the United States Supreme Court failed on 3 main topics when they tore apart DOMA and Proposition 8 in California, which told the people in all of America that the state has the right to overturn your votes if they do not agree with them. He reports that the following happened. Number 1, 5 Supreme Court justices defied their oath by declaring supremacy over the legislative and executive branch, making it almost impossible for any law passed to stay a law if someone disagrees with it, as well as if the governor of a state doesn't like what the people say. he can have it overturned and overruled by a district court or higher on what his belief may be. Number two, they have shredded the constitutional concept of state sovereignty by overturning the vote of the people because someone was offended by the vote. Number three, they have denounced Yahweh God himself by declaring that God's definition of marriage is not absolute. This will send a shaking throughout the land now, as anyone can now make any legal thing in their courts as long as it doesn't promote Christianity and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So where does that leave the churches? 1954, a state senator from Texas by the name of L.B. Johnson. He was campaigning and he noticed that all over Texas, churches were putting him down because he was an atheist. And he wasn't for freedom. So the churches from the pulpit were preaching against him. So he put a gag order in a bill, passed the bill, and all churches had to become a 501c3 tax-deductible entity, otherwise known as a child of your state. Now, because the churches are a 501c3, they have to follow the state rules, laws, statutes, and codes. They can't preach certain things. They can't teach certain things. They have to have a particular doctrine. And, oh, yes, by the way, the IRS checks all this out. Here in Indiana, back about 15 years ago, we had a church that made national headlines called the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. They came in and they just took everything they had in the tune of somewhere around $600,000 worth of furniture. Everything that goes into a church, all their bank accounts, the money they had saved up, everything. Because the pastor, Greg Dixon, decided he didn't want to be a 501c3 anymore. There's this organization out here called the RCRC. It's actually called the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, otherwise known as abortion. Now, this, when you think about it, is an oxymoron, because churches are supposed to be following God's law. However, this organization, founded by the United Methodist Church, supports abortion, the woman's right to choose for that. That happened 40 years ago when abortion was illegal and unsafe, and it caused physical suffering and death. Clergy took action to save a woman's life and health. Reverend Howard Moody of Judson Memorial Church in New York City brought together a small group of ministers and rabbis to assist women seeking safe, secure, and low-cost abortions. The service eventually grew to include about 1,400 clergies across the nation who referred thousands of women to doctors in the U.S. and abroad and was the nucleus of efforts to change the laws. Clergy continue to have a central role in counseling women in honor of the Clergy Consultation Service, and Reverend Moody, the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, was established a fund to support training clergy counselors, and they ask that your church give generously. So, a couple weeks ago, we had our de facto Supreme Court overturn what the people wanted in the state of California. Basically, they just thumbed their noses up at the people and said, you don't count. So what does that mean for the church? We know that Roe versus Wade, when that was passed in 1972, it went nationwide, and every state has now had to allow abortion. They had to make what they called safe places for abortions to take place. We know now that there is no such thing as a safe place for abortion. But that was the law back then, and every state, including yours, had to accept abortions. Well, they overturned the California law. So what does that mean for us? If you belong to a conservative Judaism denomination, American Judaism Committee, Episcopal Church, Catholics for Choice, Humanist Judaism, Presbyterian Church USA, Christian Lesbians, Reconstructionist Judaism, Church of the Brethren, Reform Judaism, Disciples for Choice, United Church of Christ, United Methodist Church, Unitarian Universalist, Episcopal Urban Caucus, and the list goes on and on. If you're a member of one of those denominations, whether you're against abortion or not, when you give to your church, part of that money goes to support abortion because they are members of the RCRC. Now, the question was, what about homosexuality? What will happen with the churches now? I was curious. Well, I looked up the World Council of Churches, and I came up with some interesting things here. I won't read them all, but there is United Church of Christ, United Methodist Church, Episcopal Church in USA, African Methodist Episcopal Church, and the list goes on and on and on. There's about 30 of them altogether. The World Council of Churches is an interchurch organization founded in 1948. Interesting how that was founded the same year Israel was given their statehood back. Its members today include most mainstream Christian churches, but not the Roman Catholic Church, which sends accredited observers to meetings. Now, why not the Roman Catholic Church? Well, you've got to understand that the Vatican is its own nation, just like D.C. is. Now, just like that 1 square mile in London. They have 3 of them. They call it a trinity. God has a trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. Satan wants a trinity too. Guess what? It's now established on this earth. The World Council of Churches is a fellowship of churches which confess the Lord Jesus Christ and God and Savior according to the Scriptures, and therefore seek to fulfill together their common calling to the glory of the one God, Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. I looked up on Manta, which is a website that you can find about corporations, and the WCC, the World Council of Churches, describes itself as a worldwide fellowship. They have 349 global, regional, and sub-regional, national, and local church seeking unity. It is based at the, it's based in Geneva, Switzerland. The organization members include denominations which claim to collectively represent some 590 million people across the world in 150 countries. Including 520,000 local congregations served by 493,000 pastors, priests, in addition to elders, teachers, members, and parish and counselors. The United States part of the Council of Churches is based in New York, New York. It's a private company categorized under Miscellaneous Denominational Church. Manta says its records show that it was established in 1939 and incorporated in New York. Uh-oh, that's a 501c3. Anybody who is a member of the World Council of Churches has to adhere to what the World Council of Churches has to follow from the state of New York. 2 years ago, the state of New York started their debate on gay marriage. New York now allows gay marriage. And because of what the Supreme Court did some time ago and started this slide and finished up 2 or 3 weeks ago, we now have a situation where every church that's a member of the World Council of Churches, now I'm talking about the United Methodist, I'm talking about thousands of churches across America that belong to the United Methodist denomination, they have to allow homosexuals to teach and preach, and they have to allow gay marriages in their pulpits because of what New York did, and because the U.S. Supreme Court, from the corporate side, passed that law that threw away what the people voted for. If your state happens to fight against it, guess where the U.S. Supreme Court is going to go? they're going to relate back to what they did just 2 to 3 weeks ago and say, no, you have to allow it. Every nation, every empire that's ever been on the face of this earth, starting with the Egyptian at 2000 B.C., has fallen simply because they lost their morals. They allowed gay and lesbianism. Some of them allowed transgenderism, cross-dressing. 6 of them allowed bestiality. 1 of them, the United States now, allows medically altered or a sex change. How sick are we going to wind up getting before something drastic happens? And this is my point. What those dates had in sequence with each other. Those particular dates, April the 15th happens to be Passover on the Jewish calendar. October 8th happens to be the Feast of Tabernacles. Those two are in 2014. And April 4th, 2015 is Passover, and September 28th, 2015 is the Feast of Tabernacles. If you know anything of your Bible, when Jesus said he's going to return, you'll note that one of the things that will happen is the moon will turn red. Those 4 dates are blood, moon, nights. Now, Passover is the common annual feast that starts it off. Tabernacles is the 7th and final annual feast. Av is the month of mourning for the Jews. The 17th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av is a 21-day period of mourning for the Jewish people. The next 7-year cycle began on Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, on September 30th, 2008, and it ends on Rosh Hashanah, September 13th to 14th, 2015. A sabbatical year in the 7-year cycle begins on Rosh Hashanah on September 25th, 2014, and ends on Rosh Hashanah, September 13th to 14th, 2015. Happens to be a day of a solar eclipse. That means everything goes dark. So, I was on a prayer call about a week ago, and they were praying that God would not judge America. And I'm listening to this prayer call, and I'm thinking, why would you not want God to judge America? Because if God decided not to judge it, then the de facto stays in place. This republic was set up by God initially. He is the leader and founder of this republic. That's why we have his laws as our law base. So why would we pray to a God to not destroy the evil works of Satan and bring the Republican standard up? Why would we not want that to happen? Don't we want to get rid of the evil? Don't we want to get rid of the satanic sacrifice called abortion? Well, that question remains to be seen on what God is going to do in the next couple of years. Because the 9th day of Av is such an important day. It's the day of destruction in Israel history. They lost their temple, both the Babylonian and the Romans, on the 9th day of Av. And also when the 12 spies went out and 10 of them came back in the wilderness and said, oh, we can't go in there, they're giants. God sent the remaining of all those that came out of Egypt 38 more years in the wilderness. That infamous time when they said, we can't go in, was the 9th day of Av. I believe that the 9th day of Av, which happens to begin next Monday and Tuesday in this year, I believe that we may be seeing and getting in store to see things that's going to benefit this republic. I think we're going to see things that we need to absolutely be on the same page with each other. Kelvin said it right. Every one of us, every single one of us in this republic had better have our ducks in a row. Because when that time comes, God's going to be counting on us, and so are the people that are not in the republic, because they're going to want some place to go. They're going to need food. They're going to need shelter. And we're the ones that God has picked to supply that for them. God is going to bring it through us so we can get it to them. The ninth day of all. I'm not saying anything is going to happen. I'm not setting any dates. I just happen to go back and look at the Old and New Testament and find out what God has done in the past, because he never breaks his pattern of what he's already established. The ninth day of all is the day of mourning for his people. And I think it will be also for us, because are we not his people? And with that, I close, and I thank you, Janine, and I yield.
Well, Roger, thank you so much. What a report. Thank you very much. We've gone over our hour, so I'm not going to put a lot more into it. Kelby, did you have any final closing comments before we close this call this evening?
You know what? I think probably tonight was one of the best calls. I think these gentlemen on the call tonight have done an incredible amount of work in educating us in that knowledge and information. Just to add to what he was saying a little bit, Yeshua, Jesus, his birth, death, and resurrection were all on feast days. And that September 13th, 14th, is the scripture says that no man knows the date or the coming of our Lord. And it could be something as simple as we don't know, and this is always the new moon, we don't know. And that's why he said September 13th or 14th. It's a day that we don't know. It's either one of those 2 days, and they happen to be that final day. Well, I don't want to get into it. This is, I could go on for probably 15 minutes on what he just said, which is very interesting, how God works and how he gave us a manual and how, if we just read and understand it, it opens up a world of just information. A lot of people think that the Word of God has been tainted for one reason or another. I challenge people to understand that if you don't believe that there is a God, or you don't believe in the Word of God, that's fine. I want you to understand that every force, listen to me very carefully, every force of the most powerful governments on the face of this earth are moving very quickly towards a complete and total takeover and slavery of humankind. It is very real. It is very evil. And we are called to push forward. And for the people that are weak in the Republic right now, what I mean by weak is thinking twice. Over 365 times in the Word of God, it says, do not fear. I don't know why I feel so protected. I have no idea why. I just am. And if the enemy, go read Job, if the enemy wants to come through to hurt you, he needs to get permission from God. Period. So do yourself a favor and immerse yourself in it and understand it. And on that note, you know what I do, because I don't have a lot of time to read? I've pumped out almost 100 chapters in the last week of the Word of God by simply listening to it. On my iPhone when I go to sleep or when I wake up or when I'm driving. There's a download that you can do on your iPhone or anything that will play the Bible audibly so that you can hear it. And I'm not trying to convert you. I'm not trying to tell you anything. I'm just trying to say, guys, there's a very dark forces out there. This is why we've come back and we're pushing hard for the light forces, for God, on the other side over here in the Republic. But do not fear. because God is going to absolutely annihilate and tie Satan to the abuso for 1,000 years, and we're going to reign in a different world, in a different light, and I can't wait to see that happen. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to close our call out for tonight. Janine, I yield.
Thank you so much, Kelby. I'm going to unmute Governor from Connecticut, Kevin Saunders, and ask him to close our call in a prayer. Governor, can you hear me? Oh, some people off guard. Governor Saunders, are you there?
I am. I had it on mute. I'm very sorry about that.
That's okay. I do that. You people don't know I'm going to call on them.
You caught me off guard. very happy to close in prayer. And that was by far one of the best news network calls that I've been able to listen to. And just very thankful for the men that we have and the ladies as well that we have that is a part of this republic. And the work that they're doing, just greatly appreciate it. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we're able to get together and communicate not only with you, Father, but also with one another. It's so uplifting and encouraging to know that there's people all across this country that have a desire to put you first. And I ask, Lord, that your hand will be upon each endeavor as we move forward in reestablishing a righteous republic. And once again, Lord, we love you and we thank you for just again the opportunity to gather together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you next Thursday.
All right. Okay.
No, no, no.